Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turn the Tape Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, broker at Daniels Trading. I write Turner's Take Newsletter weekly, which is available for everybody and then for clients. We have the Market Alerts email, which has our spec ideas, and then the ag marketing for farmers. You can visit me on the web at turnerstake.com. You can also find me on Twitter at turnerstake. And the podcast would be on iTunes or Android or any of your podcast apps. We work with farmers, traders, manage futures, do anything from self-directed trading with our fantastic online technology for either your computer or your phone. We also do broker-assisted and manage futures. So if you ever have any questions about that, you can always contact me or visit turnerstake.com. Alrighty, so let's talk about the markets. We only did one podcast last week. It was pretty busy and family was in and out of town, and last week got away from me. But let's talk about the grains right now. We've got an interesting dynamic with basically the USDA, which you kind of have to treat as gospel, basically saying, we've got a large production. We've got a 170 yield and a 48 soybean yield, 170 for corn, 48 for soybean, and the market not really believing it or don't want to, or traders have run up the prices here based on what's going on with the weather and good to excellent ratings. And good to excellent ratings for a lot of these markets have come down, and that would lead one to think that yields will come down, and that usually is a case. It's not a one-to-one direct relationship, but it usually does mean that yields will. If good to excellent is coming down, then yields are coming down. If good to excellent ratings are going up, then you expect the average yields to go up. We had at the – so this is – I'm recording this Monday night. We had the good to excellent ratings, the crop conditions come out today. Soybeans went down 4% on good to excellent. That was the big surprise. I think beans are up like 20 cents on the open here. Since then, we've come back down. We're still up 11, though, in November to about 10-20. Corn's up a couple of cents. That came down another two on good to excellent. Minneapolis wheat, the spring wheat, came down again. So let's take this one by one here. We're going to start with the spring wheat real quick. So the spring wheat, Minneapolis wheat, came down another 1% on good to excellent ratings. Got a little bit of a jump, not doing a whole lot right now. Our spread, May versus March versus May, is a little bit stronger, at 11 cents. We're in half a position from zero and the other half from 10. Here's the deal. The commercials have enough supply on hand right now, so they don't need to come into the market and buy it. So even though we think, or just based on our estimates, we're going to have a shortage of crop by the end of the year, there's a lot of time between now and then. And if the commercials don't have to run in and buy this thing, we're probably not going to go higher. So in the near term. So September, and let's just call it December. Let's take a look at December. I like the December contract a little bit better when we're looking at to trade this thing. Let me bring this up. Hold on a second here. The system does not like me right now. All right, I'm back. So I'm looking at December and it's about 754. You know, you can look at those charts and say we're breaking down lower. I really think we're consolidating. I think we can consolidate and chop for a while. Until it becomes apparent that while the commercials might be have plenty of supply right now, is it going to last them through the whole year? And, you know, if other countries around the world or suppliers around the world aren't well supplied, are they going to see the writing on the wall and come in and start boosting exports? And if they do that, then the commercials have to say, okay, well, we got to come in and buy and keep these exports at bay and make sure we have enough to meet all our commitments between now and the next harvest, which is a year from now. So that's going to be an interesting development. I do think, though, we are going to have some chop here. I think the day of reckoning is a little bit way off in the hard red spring wheat. So my idea is on the next rally, I might actually look to exit some of these spreads that we have in spring wheat, take some profits, and then just look to buy them back later. I mean, nothing in a story like this, nothing goes straight up, nothing goes straight down. There's no, I think we can trade it, and also it helped free up cash for other things to do. So I'm going to start writing about that, and I am going to start to look for an exit point on that. Not, I mean, if you like the spread idea, you want to keep it in your account, you can do that. You just want to trade around half the position, we can do that too. I think I'm going to take, if we reach our exit point, I might just take all of it off and then wait for the market to come back, because I don't, there's a price where I think we could be in Minneapolis wheat at the end of the year, which could be like, the recent highs were 9, 8, 40. I mean, I think it would be $9 or $10 given the right conditions in Minneapolis spring wheat. But I do not think it's going to happen in 2017. If we see those prices, it's going to happen in 2018, which means there's probably a lot of time for us to then trade this spread. So that's what I'm going to do. Next rally, I'm going to take profits. Next time we come down, which I would think when in September and October, when we start to see some harvest pressure in corn and soybeans, it'll put pressure on the wheat market as a whole. It's just, the grains, they trade independently, but they also trade as a group too, So I would think we'll see some pressure there, just some liquidation as we get into the fall. And maybe that's the time to buy those spreads back. So that's what I'm going to probably look to do. Hopefully, we can get a nice exit point on that. If beans and corn rally here and wheat rallies here, we probably will get that opportunity. So we will take it that way. And that's just my quick thoughts on wheat. Still bullish on it. We're going to consolidate. We're going to probably have to consolidate for a while, I think, before we can see the next leg up. And we're gonna have to let the commercial market chew through the supplies they already have on hand, because they have a lot of supply on hand, so they don't have to go into the market and buy this new crop just yet. So it's gonna be a waiting game. We can play that, and that's how we'll go with the spring wheat. Moving on to, let's do corn. I'm gonna finish up with let's do corn. So corn here opened up strong. I think December went as high as 390, 97 and a half. And I, for a second there, thought we were going to go to $4 in December corn on the open tonight as good to excellent came down. Corn, let's talk about those good to excellent ratings. You'll probably hear a lot about that, but what I was really interested in was the good to excellent, actually the soil moisture. I'm going to put you on hold here for a second. Let me find that PDF. All right. Top soil moisture, short to very short, last week was a combined 40%. We were 14, very short, 26 short. So US as a whole was 40%. Over the course of the past week, we've gotten 6% worse. We're now at 46%. Now, if that's click, that's all 50 states, right? If it's all happening in California, which is short, but if it's all happening in California or all happening in Alabama, it doesn't really matter so much for our markets. So let's just take a look at the markets that are very short. One, South Dakota is 82% topsoil moisture, short or very short. So you really see the drought coming through in there. But you know what else it doesn't look so great is North Dakota, which is at 67 short to very short on the topsoil moisture. Iowa is at 52%. I mean, that's, I think the rate, I mean, the Iowa ratings took a hit. So did, or and Illinois actually took a big hit. What was Illinois? Illinois is now 32% short to very, oh no, they're, yeah. 33% on short to very short. For a second, I thought it was almost 50, but it's Idaho. Which again makes sense because that's part of that Northern Plains area that's getting hit real hard. I mean, Montana is, wow, Montana's 92% topsoil short to very short. That's crazy. So you can that basically what the topsoil moisture is telling us is that yes, the Northern Plains are very dry. We all knew that, but you can see it in some of these states. It's spreading into the Western Corn Belt, and Illinois is a concern now. Subsoil moisture, which is important too, because what's going to happen here is if we don't get the weather's looking hot and dry, looks like we are going to have a ridge. The models they got cooler over the weekend and we had more rain than expected. And then today, the last model or last two runs, it's gotten hotter and drier. And the thing is, as these plants mature, they're going to go down into the soil and they're going to, need that moisture if it's, to help the plant survive and grow. That subsoil moisture condition in, let's take a look at South Dakota. Subsoil moisture, 81%, very short to short. That's South Dakota. North Dakota, 62%, very short to short. Illinois is at 32%. Iowa is at, is this right? They're saying Iowa's 46% short to very short on subsoil moisture. What's the topsoil in Iowa? 52. 52%. Wow. Okay, so that's not great. That is not good for Iowa. Illinois, not good. I mean, the subsoil moisture, if it stays hot and dry in Illinois, in Iowa, not only are the plants in a critical time not getting enough moisture when it matters most, it's not going to be able to draw from the ground as much either. So that's definitely a concern. I can see corn going to the most recent highs, which would be about if the market starts playing up the story. So if the good to excellent conditions and the weather stays hot and you see pictures of the fields and they're not looking good, and we've got 2 more weeks of good to excellent ratings before the next WASDE. I can see us going back up to 416. It's not that far away. It's about 20, 25 cents. I can see it if the weather stays this hot and dry. If we all of a sudden get rain and whatnot, I can see us going back down to 76, 376. What I can't see is us breaking out above 416 or going below 376 by the next WASDE. I mean, the USDA really has to come out and say something about yields, I think. I mean, with the 170 yield and the increased acres in the corn, we're just showing a massive carryout of 2.3 billion. For for these prices to be justified at around $4 or higher, that carryout's got to come down. And I don't think we're going to be at 160 yield. I mean, maybe. Up until today, I didn't think we'd be at a one. We wouldn't be close to a 160 yield. I thought it'd be 165. Seeing that topsoil and the subsoil moisture in some of those key growing states so poor, my mind's trying to change a little bit. But again, I think we're just going to be range bound, and we are going to have enough supply. So we have bear spreads in corn. I'm thinking about taking some profits on those, even if it's just like 5 6 five, 5 cents or something like that. I think we have, and I think we have a double position for those spreads. So it's really be up like 10 cents per position or something like that. And just kind of moving aside, I do think eventually SEP and March go to full carry or close to it. Same with SEP Dece, but in the next couple of weeks, if the weather stays this way, we get a. I see. I can't even. I can't even see the run up that much in September because there's so much old crop out there. Farmers have to sell this old crop before they can take all this new crop in. And if futures gonna be around 390, I just have a tough time seeing them want to carry the old crop and the new crop, not just dumping old crop here. And that's gonna put pressure on those SEP Dece and SEP March bear spreads I've been talking about. Pressure in a good way since we're short. We're bear spread. So, but the thing is, like, if we do get up 5 or 6 cents on those, I mean the fact is, we'll be doubling the margin. I mean, the margin's got to be, what, $100 and something dollars. And if we're up $300 per spread or something like that, I can't complain about that. So I can see us taking profit at some time. So keep an eye on Turner's take for that. Or maybe we'll just trail a tight stop. I can see us doing that too. And also be nice to free up some cash also, with the, because we have the corn spreads on, we have the spring wheat spreads on. Like, for instance, like early this week, I was thinking about getting into soybean no versus no spread at zero or better. And I really didn't because we had too many positions on. We're not too many, but we had enough. And I didn't want to add on any more without taking some off or taking profits in something. And we didn't get in. And that was probably a mistake. Probably should have sold, lined up somewhere else to get a little bit soybean exposure on that last sell off. But I say lovey. And, next time. So always a next time. So anyways, that's my idea on corn. As far as soybeans go, wow, down 4%, good to excellent. I'm surprised we're not up higher. which is a little bit concerning. I think we're not up higher because that 48 yield from the WASDE is just staring people in the face, you know, which is going to keep us above 400 million bushels on the carryout. Arguing $10 or higher on soybeans with a carryout, projected carryout of over 400 million bushels, just there's something wrong there. Something's not right. Either the market's wrong and the USDA is right and prices deserve to come down, or the market's right, the USDA is wrong, and they got to bring down production. Or in most cases, usually somewhere in between, you know, and when you get these type of situations. So I find it very difficult to believe November beans going over 445, wherever we were when we had those highs a couple of weeks ago, unless good to excellent ratings just start coming down like this, like 3 or 4% a week. And we got 2 more weeks for the next WASDE, and we stay hot and dry. At that point, maybe we can go over, but still, I think there'd be a lot of selling there just because, you know, that USDA fear. You know, if who wants to be, here's another thing about this way. Who wants to keep on buying soybeans above 1045, not knowing what the USDA is going to do, and basically having 90 million acres of soybeans planted and going into that report with a projected yield of 48. Now, if we're at 46 or lower, all of a sudden these prices that we're at right now above $10, in my mind, are justified. But the USDA has got to deliver and bring those bushels down. Otherwise, you're just going to be caught the wrong way on the WASDE report. So in the meantime, I like playing the range. I would be buying the breaks here, most likely. And because soybeans can be so volatile, maybe I prefer to do it in the spread market. Maybe the NOVNO spread's the way to do it. Buying the breaks and selling the resistance between now and the report. And that's going to be a big story. If it's going to be hot and dry, you know, basically for beans, the last week in July up until mid-August, probably going to be the most critical window. And it's looking hot and dry in that for a lot of places. And there's a lot of beans that are grown in that drought area, and we're seeing some more drought in Iowa, or just bad soil, worse conditions in Iowa and Illinois. So I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens there with soybeans. The bears are gonna argue there's a ton of soybeans out there. There's a ton in South America. There'll be a lot more produced next year. We've got 90 million acres this year. You know, there's gonna be no shortage. The question just is how big, or you know, how adequate to burn some of the ending stocks will be, which is a good point, which is probably why we're only at 1020 tonight. If the stocks were tighter, we'd probably be 30 or 40 cents up, but they're not. We have abundant stocks. That's why we're only up 12 right now. So that's how we'll play soybeans. So if I can get out of, actually, I will be able to get out of it. When we take profits on the spring wheat and the corn spread, I'm gonna probably look to try to pick off something in beans if between, you know, in the next couple of weeks, if we can get a little break in that, we'll try to get into that. We'll see. We may have missed it, but we'll keep an eye on it. In terms of hogs, we've been bearish hogs. It looks like the hog market has been coming down, where there is anticipation of a lot more stock coming on to the market, a lot more supply, and the cash price is eventually going to break. There's still a huge difference in cash and futures, and that's a little bit concerning. But I think we're going to see that keep on coming down. So we're bear spread, oct and dece, and you know, every time it seems like we get to be up a point in that spread, it kind of backs off. We are making lower lows and lower highs in that spread, so we'll keep it. But if we get up a point or a point and a half, I might just take some profit early, just because it's a chop lower. It's not like we're trending lower. But you know, the thing is, you don't want to get greedy. Like, what happens? China comes in and makes a huge buy. Something happens in the grain markets. Some cash buyer goes crazy. Whatever it may be, we've been in this position for a while, you know, if we can make a point, point and a half, or 2 points, we may just leave it at that in the hog market and move on, because there's other opportunities out there. There's no reason to sit in the spread, and be nice to bank a few winners. After we took a couple of losses. Not big losses, but a couple of small losses, and after that kind of surprise and shock of the WASDE. So it'd be nice to go ahead and bank a few winners and kind of get square again. Speaking of which, one something I'd probably double up on, or if I wasn't in it, get in it. I think we're seeing a reversal in the Kansas City versus Chicago September wheat spread. I got in a little bit, a couple of cents above zero. Right now we're trading minus one. I think if you look at a chart of that, we had a lower open on Monday and a higher close from the previous day. My mind, technically, that is a bullish reversal. So Kansas City versus Chicago, September wheat made a bullish reversal. It's a position I'm already in, and I'm down a couple of cents, which is fine. A couple of cents and being down in a wheat spread is no big deal. If you were looking a way to play the Kansas City for Chicago, I'd say today was the technical reason on the charts to start to look at it. I know I was getting in more on a fundamental basis, a seasonal basis, and a supply and demand, and that's what I was doing. But today, the technical basis also kicked in, so I like it even more now. And I know a lot of you out there are primer or more technical than fundamental. Well, I know I am more. I definitely pay attention to technicals, but I'm a little bit more fundamental based. I've never met anyone who's equally 50-50 both. Even if they think they are, they're not. They usually vary to one side to other. So I think you got. Both keys can be turned in the ignition to fire the missile on that one. So I don't know. Take a look at it. You can always give me a call if you have any questions about it and what we're thinking. But I like it. Obviously, there's always risk. I mean, that Kansas City versus Chicago spread. I mean, in theory, it could trade 20 or 30 under, but in theory, it can also trade 30 to 60 over. And the fact that we're trading under zero, and it really, that doesn't happen very often if you look at it historically. I like it. There's definitely, but just to please the regulator, since I am Series 3, there is risk involved in trading futures. So keep that in mind too. Let's see here. So that is it. Cattle, I do want to touch on cattle real quick. So cattle on feed on Friday came out. That was bearish. I mean, we were limit down in feeders for a while. I think we just came just off of it, or we were right at, I mean, we were limit all day. We may have just finished a tick over limit, right at the end there in the feeders, but we were down, limit down for most of the day. It was a bearish number. There's a lot more cattle in the pipeline than people thought. The placements were very high, and what it's signaling to the market is that we had kind of a shortage for the first half of this year, and that was led to higher prices for cattle. It looks like we'll be adequately supplied for the rest of this year, and it's suggesting 2018 and 2019, these placement numbers are saying we're gonna have plenty of cattle. So it could be challenging for people in the cattle industry, next year and going into 2019. So we'll see. But that's what it's looking like if you are a producer. If you're a producer in cattle, I would think you have to have a negative bias now. Same with the hog market. For farmers out there, one thing that we do in terms of the marketing side, if corn only, if corn, let's say the corn yield is around 165, and we finish with a 1.9, 2 billion carryout. We're going to start getting into harvest soon, and the crops can be made in August, and we'll have a pretty good idea what the carryout's going to be. That's when we start to shift our tune to stop to instead of being bullish during weather rallies, maybe be a little bit more bearish. And for farmers who actually have old crop in storage, sometimes we'll use selling calls, covered calls, like you would in your stock portfolio. You own a stock, you sell a call, and it's a covered. You're short a covered call. That is something that that is a strategy that we've used a lot in years past as we get into harvest, selling covered calls on grain and storage. So if you were looking to make a nickel or a dime on the grain you have in storage, which can go a long way, and you can actually, we've done that a couple of times. Like we'll do it in September and October and November and December, trying to pick up 5 to 10 cents per month on grain and storage, and that can add up. And we usually try to do that up until South America can have weather issues. As soon as we get into a point in time where South America can have weather issues, we stop selling those calls on beans and and corn. You know, speculators can do that too if you just want to play harvest pressure, but I like it a lot for producers because it's a way for them to pick up some extra money. When prices are low and margins are tight, I've had farmers that have it's made a difference having a year in the red and or a year in the green doing something like that. So I don't know, if you're a producer out there and you have questions about that, that'd be something probably contact me directly about, because hedging strategies tend to be a little bit more custom rather than like the spec side, which can you can have a little bit more of a one size fits all type feel to it. So anyways, that's what we're looking, not right now, but that's coming around the corner. I mean, that's something that you know, we only have I think we only have one big push left in the grain markets in corn and soybeans, unless there's real sustained damage to the field, to the crop, like there was with Minneapolis wheat. But for right now, I don't think there is. I think we're just going to have a little bit tighter than we thought. And maybe we can see $4.25 corn. And maybe we can see $11 beans at some point. But, well, the wheat market's a little bit more bullish. So that's what I'm thinking. I'll try to update the newsletter in the morning with some of our trades and exits. And I'll get out a marketing newsletter, kind of start preparing our farming clients of what to look for as we probably, you know, I'm hoping we make at least one more push higher here in the next couple of weeks. So again, you can find all my contact information in the show notes. I'm Craig Turner at Daniels Trading. You can find me at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com and on Twitter. If you like the podcast, please review it on iTunes. That'd be great. And you know, Turner's Take Weekly and Turner's Take Podcast are free. It's part of my way of communicating with people, not just clients, but people are interested in us and in me and want to learn more about the market. So feel free to always pass that along to anyone. So have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.